Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
On today's episode, I am going to be talking to you about my favorite books that I read in 2023. My name is Justin Hamilton, and the next time I need to move, can I count on your help moving my library here on Big Squid? Hello and welcome to the show. I'm finally getting around to sharing my favorite books that I read in 2023, not necessarily released in 2023. It's a bit more difficult to keep a full list of books and graphic novels that you only read that were released that year. But they were definitely the ones that I read and enjoyed last year. It's taken me a while to get to this because, to be honest, I lost my list. it's as simple as that. I couldn't find it for ages. And then when I did eventually find it, I'd put it in a place that I made sure it was safe. But it was so safe that it was hidden from me. So that's why it's taken us so long to get to this. So, but anyway, we're getting there. So that's the main thing. A few things over at Patreon. There is a podcast that is up that also shows the video of me performing on The Weekly last week, Charlie Pickering's TV show. And what I've done is there's a Patreon-only podcast which breaks down the stages of writing that went into that sketch slash segment. And lots of people wonder how these things work. I thought this was a perfect opportunity to actually break down from first draft to third draft to what was recorded and to how it played out. So if that kind of thing interests you and you'd like to have an ability to access all the other bonus podcasts there, we're going back over long-lost interviews from the Can You Take This Photo, Please? That was my original podcast. And there's lots of other bonuses there as well. So if you would like to be able to access that, head over to patreon.com/Justin Hamilton. That is patreon.com/Justin Hamilton. And you can find a tier that suits you. And you can join our very nice community over there. And as I said, access these Patreon-only podcasts. Also, over at my site, there is a list of all the shows I'm doing on the Melbourne Comedy Festival Roadshow. I start next week on the 24th of April. We'll be on the road for about 3 weeks, touring around all of Queensland, starting off in Rockhampton on the 24th, then Townsville on the 26th, Cairns on the 27th, Innisfail on the 28th, then it's Ingham on the 30th, and then Yes, well, there's more. I'm not going to bore you with it. I was just about to read out all of them, and I thought, oh, you don't really need to endure that. So, so head over to bigsquidpod.com, or it's the same address. You can also go to justinhamilton.com.au, whichever one is the one that you use to get to that site. You will find not only the list of shows and if you're in those places, how you can get tickets, but also you can find my blog, Dispatches from the Fury Road, which has up until recently been one a week, and then things have been a little bit flat out, but there will be more coming there as well. So they're all quick little reads, and you can find me being an early adopter of Bring Molly and Peggy Back Together. If you don't know what that is, you can read about it on my blog. Things have worked out well, but at the time it looked like it was sayonara for everyone's favourite magpie. But anyway, there you go. That's a whole lot of stuff for you. Let's get into the books. I'm going to do this in no order. I hate kind of comparing things at the best of times, but it's really difficult. I find it really difficult with books because they just kind of tick, you know, different boxes of things that you like. So I'm literally just, I've got an order here, and it's, you know, it took me long enough to find this list to then put it in an order was too much. But let's just say coming in first, as in the first one we're going to talk about, is Richard Feidler's The Book of Roads and Kingdoms. This was a beautiful book. I reckon maybe it is Richard's best written book so far. The Book of Roads and Kingdoms is the story of the medieval wanderers who travelled out to the edges of the known world during Islam's fabled golden age. This is an era when the caliphs of Baghdad presided over a dominion greater than the Roman Empire at its peak, stretching from North Africa to India. Imperial Baghdad, founded as the City of Peace, quickly became the biggest and richest metropolis in the world, and standing atop one of the city's four gates, its founder proclaimed, "Here is the Tigris River, and nothing stands between it and China." In a flourishing culture of science, literature, and philosophy, the citizens of Baghdad were fascinated by the world and everything in it. Inspired by their prophet's commandment to seek knowledge all over the world, these traders, diplomats, soldiers, and scientists left behind the cosmopolitan pleasures of Baghdad to venture by camel, horse, and boat into the unknown. So that's essentially what it is about. Richard's writing is beautiful. He has an amazing talent. If you've ever listened to him on this podcast or on radio or just seen interviews with him, he writes the way he sounds. That's not an easy skill to have, and so it's a beautiful, beautifully told story, and you kind of just luxuriate in it. I was, I think I started it and then thought I'll juggle a couple of other books at the same time, which is my want, and then eventually some of those other books were just slowly moved to one side, and I just focused on Richard's because I wanted to continue just living in that world. And it's also, with all the modern problems that are happening today, it's interesting and fascinating to go back and read what was going on so long ago. So, yes, Richard Feidler's The Book of Roads and Kingdoms also was the winner of the Indie Book Award for 2023, the Nonfiction Book of the Year, and was also shortlisted for the Book People Nonfiction Book of the Year. So it has some healthy accolades, and I would thoroughly recommend that. All of his books are great, but if you haven't read that one, I would get into that. So big shout out to Richard Feidler. Next up is, wow, Alan Moore's Illuminations, which was a short story collection. Alan Moore, as you know, is a wonderful reader, probably one of the most important creators of the 20th century, maybe even going into the 21st. I love his comics. I just read for the first time in decades from Hell, which is his version of the Jack the Ripper murders. And it is a fascinating read, and it is like a thing of beauty, the work that he did there. But funnily enough, I've found his prose to not quite have the, I don't know, there was something lacking. Maybe it was it always felt a little bit overwritten. Oh, by the way, From Hell was also drawn by Eddie Campbell. I should 100% do a shout out to Eddie Campbell, because he is just as important as Alan Moore with that. But anyway, I'm not always the biggest fan of Alan Moore's prose, but I found these short stories were out of control. I think this is the best thing that he's written. And, you know, it opens with a story called The Hypothetical Lizard, which is a story about a real ghost who takes revenge on a con artist who likes to perform fake seances. There's another story about called Not Even Legend, which is about an entity moving backwards through time who infiltrates a group of friends who investigate supernatural phenomena. There is the story The Improbably Complex High Energy State, which is, as has been stated, a tribute to 1960s new wave science fiction that chronicles the sexual escapades of a Boltzmann brain in the first femtoseconds of creation. You know, like, these are high concept ideas, but, you know, the one that stands out to me, and it's not often that you laugh out loud when you're reading something, but his novella, What We Can Know About Thunder Man, is right in the middle, and it is a savage, savage takedown of the American comics industry, and it is a deconstruction of the Silver Age superhero genre. It exposes the conventions that, you know, it is just unbelievable. And it's funny because, you know, you can look at it and read it and go, okay, so Massive stands in for Marvel, America stands in for DC Comics, Thunderman is sort of, you know, Superman. And yeah, it's so funny. It, like, if you have any sense of the comic book history, it is tasty. Like, you can really, really bite into it and feel the satire staining your fingers. But even if not, it's just kind of funny. It's just a funny story. And there is one moment when two characters go over to a workmate's house under the proviso that they want to just make sure everything's okay after he's died, you know, kind of help clean up. But what they want to do is get their hands on his comic book collection. And then what they find is so brutal. Anyway, I feel like Alan Moore, when I was a teenager, and probably, you know, I was collecting comics from a young age. And then there's a possibility that I was maybe not growing out of it, but, you know, starting to look elsewhere. And Alan Moore, along with Frank Miller, you know, took me to the next level with comics, you know, just as you're starting to get a little bit older and think, maybe this is all a little bit childish. And then suddenly, you know, I'm reading Saga of the Swamp Thing. And then that leads me to pick up the first issue of Watchmen. And I was reading Daredevil, and that picked me, inspired me to pick up The Dark Knight Returns. So then suddenly you're seeing these big satirical statements on the genre. And then, of course, that opens the way to the British invasion, which is, you know, formative for me. You know, Neil Gaiman, Grant Morrison, Pete Milligan, all these wonderful writers who came over and just had a huge influence on me. But anyway, so in many ways, I feel like Alan Moore brought me further into the world of comics, and his stuff never let me down as a kid. And now, after reading this satirical story, I feel like he's taken me out. It's almost like I can't enjoy comics anymore. Like, I can enjoy the art form. Let me just stress that, you know, and there'll be some graphic novels that turn up on this list. But, you know, it's almost like I just kind of can't enjoy the genre anymore. It feels like it's lost its luster and lost its creativity. And that's just for me. Maybe I've just grown up. But anyway, Alan Moore brought me into the world and Alan Moore has taken me out. So maybe, maybe if you're still enjoying comics, don't read it. You know, I'd hate for you to be bummed out by what you read. But you know, also it just kind of hit me in the right place. So anyway, Illuminations by Alan Moore. His short stories are all fantastic, and if you like high concept storytelling and stuff that's and stories that are really funny, then I really recommend it. Okay. One of the most fascinating books that I read last year, and this is actually an older book, but I read Frank Walker's Maralinga, and it's a hell of a read. I may have talked about this on an earlier podcast because it had that much of an effect on me, but Frank Walker is an investigative journalist, and he... this is a true story, by the way. He looked into the abuse of Australian army personnel who were used as lab rats for testing the effects of nuclear bombs. And it's, you know, it's crazy to realise that with the blessing of our Prime Minister at the time, Sir Robert Menzies, the British government exploded 12 atomic bombs on Australian soil. And this will sound like I'm making it up, but pilots were ordered to fly into nuclear mushroom clouds to take readings and told to walk into radioactive ground zero to retrieve the debris that was incredibly contaminated. And the story about the Aboriginal people and what they had to deal with in these when these tests were taking place. Like it's shocking, and I guess if you enjoyed the movie Oppenheimer and you found that story fascinating, amongst all of the feelings that you get with it, which is that it's pretty scary and it's crazy that all of this stuff happened, then this is kind of an amazing sequel. It's weirdly. I don't mean this flippantly, but it's weirdly cinematic in some of the things that you will read about it. And it's not just the what happens to the soldiers in the moment. It's also what happens for decades afterwards, including stolen bones of dead babies to see how much fallout had contaminated their bodies and the parents, you know, never being told. Like, that's crazy, isn't it? Like, it's genuinely crazy stuff. So you can find that on Kindle, I think, and you know, you can, I think you might have to do a bit of searching for the paperback. But Frank Walker's Maralinga, while not the easiest of reads, if you have any interest in Australian history, and especially in Australian history that is never really talked about, I can't recommend this enough. I thought it was devastating and gripping, and you know, John Fane in his assessment of it said it reads like a thriller, and he is completely correct. So if that is something that appeals to you, I thoroughly recommend it. All right, let's go a little bit lighter. If you are a fan of the movie Heat, then I say to you, Heat 2 by Michael Mann and Meg Gardner is great. I really, really enjoyed it. It's not a novelization of the of the movie. It is a completely new book. And in some ways, it's like, you know how The Godfather Part 2 is a sequel and a prequel? Well, that's kind of what Heat 2 is as well. So, you know, one storyline, you're following Chris, who was played by Val Kilmer in the movie. So you're following his escape from Los Angeles. So that's taking place after the film has ended. Then you're also reading about, before the heist, you're reading about Neil, who was Robert De Niro's character, and their high-tech, you know, global trade. You know, they're amongst the dark web and they're, you know, working in the combat zones of urban America. You're also following, you know, Vincent Hanna. And it's the wonderful performance by Al Pacino. You know, like, I loved the memes of him yelling, but it kind of it paints an illusion that Pacino is yelling all the way through that film, which he isn't. His character is quite clearly a cokehead, and there's moments where he dials it up. But it's. When you're reading Vincent and you're getting a little bit more of that character, you go, oh, yeah, this guy is thoroughly unhinged. But the story, it spans from 1988 to 2000. It takes place in North America, Singapore, South America, Indonesia, and it's, you know, there's a different antagonist for this, which... that Hanna is chasing after. And, you know, anyway, it all comes back to LA, which is what you really want. It's just great. Like, it's just a great book, and I just really enjoyed it. So read it if you enjoy the film, the original film. You could probably read it if you haven't seen the film, but it's just really well written. Michael Mann and Meg Gardner have... crafted just a real page turner. And, you know, there's rumors that he's going to make it into a movie, and, you know, fuck, who wants to take on the roles that Pacino and De Niro did? But if they can make it half as good as the book, I'll be up for that as well. So Heat 2, there you go, something a little bit more fun. Next up is a graphic novel. Well, I thought we should throw a graphic... we've got a few graphic novels coming up. This is by the team of Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, and coloured, I think, is it maybe Josie?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Phillips? I'm not sure. These guys write brilliant, brilliant graphic novels. I've talked about them before. Pulp, the Reckless series, Criminal, Kill or Be Killed. Like, I just haven't read anything of theirs that I haven't enjoyed. And this is a story about a... and this one's called Night Fever, and it's a story about... Jonathan Webb, who's in Europe on a business trip, and of course he can't sleep, which often happens to us when we go overseas. And he finds himself wandering around in this strange foreign city, and then he ends up with a new friend, a guy called Rainer. And from there, everything kind of goes pear-shaped. And it's he gets shown to a hidden world of the night. It's a world without rules or limits. And then things turn dangerous, and he doesn't know if he will be able to find his way home. It's a little bit like, you know, there's the darkness within trying to work out who you really are. I think there's something, you know, it's an old story in many ways, but you're facing the when you come into contact with that darker side of yourself, it can make people suddenly, you know, wonder, hang on, have I always been this person? Like, is this, like, what's happening here? Is the shadow self the real self that I've been keeping in check all these years? It's kind of like a mixture of Eyes Wide Shut. I don't know if you're a fan of Eyes Wide Shut. I know there's a rejection of Kubrick at this stage for some of the things he did on set and his aesthetic. But I love Eyes Wide Shut. I think it's, you know, really fascinating film. And there's a little bit of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and a little bit of Scorsese in it in a way. And, you know, I like seeing this set in Europe, you know, getting out of America, which Brubaker and Phillips do so well. It's got that noir feeling. I think it's a beautifully crafted book, and if you like something that's a little bit left of centre, if you've enjoyed their work in the past, you know that they can surprise you. But this is just a little bit left of centre, and I think it is a great read, about 120 pages, so might be a fun one. So, you know, on a dark Sunday night, might be the best time to read it. Okay, next up we have The Berlin Trader by A.W. Hammond. You would have heard Alex on this podcast in previous episodes. This is the sequel to The Paris Collaborator, which I thought was Alex's best book. And I think this one tops it. This is a thriller, and it involves the hunt for a Nazi war criminal. And it's just at the beginnings of the Cold War. The blurb reads, July 1945, the war in Europe is finally over, but Auguste Duchesne, who survived occupied Paris at great personal cost, cannot escape his past. He finds himself helping the Allies to pursue a Gestapo war criminal through the ravaged and dangerous streets of Berlin. But soon he learns, however, that although one global conflict may have ended, another is beginning, and he is in a deadly race against the Russians as they hunt the same person. Look, this is just a real page-turner, and Alex's writing just gets better and better. I'm excited to be on the ground level for a series of books following one character, and you know the first two have been great. You could read The Berlin Trader on its own, like you'd be fine, but you'll just get more out of it if you've read The Paris Collaborator first. So Alex is under A.W. Hammond, by the way, but I know him as Alex because we're pals. But I just think he's done such a fantastic job with this. And once again, like if you're traveling or you just want something that you can get right into from page one and go on a ride, then I thoroughly recommend The Berlin Trader by A.W. Hammond. Let's go to another graphic novel. This is the latest by Daniel Clowes, who has written Ghost World. You might not have read that graphic novel, but you may have seen the movie. He is the writer-artist of the incredibly brilliant 8-Ball series. He is an amazing storyteller. And this story follows Monica, who is a character who, after being abandoned by her parents in childhood, claws her way to the top. You know what? I might not even tell you more than that. Yes. You know what? I feel like this is something where I just kind of bought it on his reputation, you know, and the experiences I've had with his previous stories. But he's so good at taking prickly misfits, and all the stories are kind of like 9 chapters, but they could also be short stories. And once again, he's sad. They're funny. You know, it kind of speaks to our anxieties that we deal with now. But then again, the artwork is kind of like an old EC comic, I reckon. It's, you know, the EC was a comic publisher, still around to a certain extent, that covered things like horror, sci-fi, war, all those kinds of genres. So it's kind of got this nostalgic feeling in the art, but there's conspiracy theories, there's cults, there's the hint of an apocalypse just on the horizon. You know, it's retro, but it feels like it is 100% influenced by a world that is dealing with global warming and Donald Trump all at the same time. And I know that might not sound like it's fun, but it can be really funny, and it can be really, you know, fascinating the way it can dig into this main woman and just have a real sense of what it's like for her life and how she gets to these different places. Yeah, it's and you know, you kind of feel sorry for people, then you get angry with people. Like that's really, really good writing, I think, you know, like when you're bouncing back and forth with how you feel about people. You know, it's important to keep a momentum with a story, isn't it? If you're bouncing backwards and forwards. So look, I was about to tell you more about Monica, but if you've read Dan Clough's work before, you know what you're in for. And if you haven't, you know, see if you can borrow it, you know, get a feel for him. And then if this appeals to you, go back and find his previous work. But Daniel Clough's Monica is quite something. Okay, let's do a little slip around. We've gone through this. I want to talk about Naomi Klein's Doppelganger, A Trip into the Mirror World. The beginning of Naomi Klein's latest book was one day, like during lockdown, she just found that people kept mistaking her for Naomi Wolf. And Naomi Wolf is, you know, just has completely different ideas and different thoughts and different reactions to the world around her. And Klein, who was, you know, living in lockdown and, you know, trying to raise a child and trying to live her life, was fascinated by this. And so she looked into it and then kind of lost her bearings, and she started to realize that there's this strangeness that we have to deal with in the real world, and how that's come about. And it's a really well written memoir, and it's funny at times as well. And but she's not afraid to dig into, you know, how scary everything is, and, you know, the way people, you know, what's the difference between AI-generated text, you know, because it blurs the line between a genuine communication and false communication. And, you know, she's trying to make sense of how there were people marching against vaccines, but the people marching together on one side were, you know, new age wellness entrepreneurs, and the others were Nazis. And it's like, how did this absurd world come into being? And this is her take on it. And you know, it's got some really, really serious topics and ideas and thoughts that it digs into. But at the same time, once again, it can be quite funny. And you know, she's not afraid to use her humour on the subjects, and also not afraid to use them on herself as well. So fascinating read. Just I felt like it kind of helped make sense of the last couple of years in some ways, as much as you can. So Naomi Klein's Doppelganger is a perfect book if you're looking for something to help you get your head around how crazy everything is now. Okay, two to go. This is, I've just in recent times been introduced to the beautiful writing of Claire Keegan. This is a novella called Small Things Like These. It is set in 1985 in a small Irish town during the weeks leading up to Christmas. Bill Furlong, a coal merchant and family man, faces into his busiest season, and early one morning while delivering an order to the local convent, Bill makes a discovery which forces him to confront both his past and the complicit silences of a town controlled by the church. People had raved about her books. I had not had an opportunity to read them before. I've read a few now, and this is just beautiful. It's fascinating. You know, it's a story of hope and empathy, and it's being made into a movie starring Cillian Murphy soon, which will be interesting to see. Once again, it's a novella, so I read this relatively quickly, but it was one of those things where it's like, I'll read 20 pages or something, and then I'll get on with the rest of my day, and then I put the book down after I finished it, and that's a good read, right? So if you haven't read anything of Claire Keegan's, and you would like to jump in at, you know, at a get a taste for it before delving into her other works. Small Things Like These feels like such a beautiful place to start off with. And then look, if you read that, then I'd go into Foster. That would be the next one that I would go after that. And then probably maybe So Late in the Day. They're the three that I've read in order. But yeah, there you go. Claire Keegan. Just if you've heard people rave about it, then let it be known that they she lives up. She lives up to it. All right, let's finish on something lighter. This is, I read volumes 4 and 5 of these books. Once again, these graphic novels, I should say. These are the Something is Killing the Children. These are the stories by James Tinian IV, Wirtha de la Dera, and Miquel Moreto. These are an ongoing individual issues, and I read them as the collections when they're released, usually 5 issues to each collection. In this, this is following the story of Erica Slaughter, who is a woman who works for the House of Slaughter, and what she does is she kills monsters. And in this story, in this world, only children can see monsters, so which, of course, makes her job even more difficult. Look, reading them at a graphic novel at a time is great. They come out pretty regularly, and then it's just like, great, I'm up for the next one. I'm well advanced past these, but these are the two that I read last year. And if you would just like to read something that's pretty moody, like the artwork is beautiful. It has a, you know, like a an American Gothic kind of feel to it, and Erica is a great lead character, kind of everything you want in a lead. You know, a little bit rebellious, good at her job, makes mistakes. You know, just an excellent character. I'd love to. I wonder if they'd ever make it into a series. If they, I won't tell you who I think. If you haven't read it, I won't tell you who I think would make a good lead to play Erica. But if you message me, I'll tell you. Only if you've read the graphic novels. Yeah, I just think these are really fun, and I like delving back into that world. I love that she has, a demon trapped in her toy that she talks to that has to help her out. And yeah, I just think it's a really fun read. So if you haven't read any of them, I think they're up to, what was the last one I read? I reckon it was volume 7. So maybe you might like to check that out if you're looking for a series and you are kind of over the world of mainstream superheroes. That makes sense to me. So once again, I'll just go through the books that I suggested. The Books of Roads and Kingdoms, Richard Feidler, Illuminations, Alan Moore, Maralinga by Frank Walker, Heat 2 by Michael Mann and Meg Gardner, Night Fever by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. Who else did we? The Berlin Trader, A.W. Hammond. Monica, Daniel Klaus, and volumes 4 and 5 of Something is Killing the Children, and also Doppelganger by Naomi Klein and Claire Keegan's Small Things Like These. Look, there's other books that I could have actually mentioned now that I'm looking at it. I read The Memory Police by Yoko Ogawa, and I thought that was... Yeah, why didn't I mention that? That is fascinating. In a world where people just start losing words... Yeah, that's worthwhile reading. I read Philip Pullman's The Collectors. It was small, but really, really great read. I read Unfaithful Music and Disappearing Ink by Elvis Costello. I know some people who didn't really enjoy it, but I enjoyed it. Maybe I would have liked more stuff about him on the road, but he's an interesting character. Old Declan McManus. So, and I think he's a pretty honest writer as well. So that shouldn't come as any surprise to you. I reread Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth by Reza Aslan, which I have misspelt here. So I'm just going to fix that quickly. Thank you. Thank you for waiting. I also reread Grant Morrison and Liam Sharp's Season 1 and 2 of Green Lantern, which seems like their goodbye to the DC Universe. You know, I just said that I'm not really that into superheroes anymore, but that's more like a sci-fi NYPD blue, you know, police procedural with Green Lanterns. So that was pretty great. Psalms for the End of the World was good. I also... finished off book 3 and 4 of Akira, but I'll talk about that, you know, like I've finished all of it now, but so I'll save that for whenever I get around to doing this year's list. And what else? I don't think I really read anything. Dark Matter by Blake Crouch, which is being turned into a TV series. That's worthwhile checking out as well. So, yeah, look, to be honest, I can't really remember, but I think if I read anything and didn't enjoy it, I didn't keep reading it. Life's too short, isn't it? So there you have it. All right. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that's of some help to you, and it gives you some suggestions, or I've justified how you feel about some stuff by mentioning it, and you can say, yeah, I agree. That's always a nice feeling, isn't it? All right. I'll be back as soon as I possibly can. But in the meantime, I will be on the road for the next 3 weeks in Queensland. And then I will be in Adelaide on the 24th of May for the Dollop. And then I will be performing a solo show on the 31st of May. So two opportunities to see me in Adelaide if you're keen. It'd be nice to see you there as well. All right. I have to get back to all this other stuff. But thanks for listening, and I'll do what I can to get back to you ASAP. There's a whole lot of stuff that I want to do with the podcast, so it's just trying to find the time with everything that's going on. All right. Thank you very much. So lovely to speak to you, and we'll talk again soon. Until then.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.